Well, good morning, all.
Good morning.
Our passage today will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it for a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make my body a slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. Father, we ask you to open our hearts, open our minds. May we sense your presence and your guidance. May we all together share your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know Susie's going to raise her hand. How many of you have been to physical therapy? Yeah, it's quite the experience, isn't it? I've had a lot of experience with physical therapy over the last several years. My first experience was when I was 14. I was playing football, I weighed 80 pounds, and some guy tackled me, and I broke my knee. And after a cast for 12 weeks, I had to go to physical therapy to regain strength in my knee. But over the last several years, I've been going to physical therapy probably at least 5 times. Linda will correct me afterwards to tell me the exact number. And most of those have been because of my shoulder. My left shoulder especially doesn't stretch as well as it should. And I've hurt my back several times. Once, the latest time, I'm sorry to say that I was foolish. I saw these slippery, wet, icy stairs, and I could have walked around, but I went down the stairs, and I fell down on the stairs, and I injured my back. And after 6 weeks out, I finally was able to go to physical therapy to try to strengthen my back and recover the strength that I'd lost. And one of my physical therapists likes to call himself a physical terrorist. I think he was only half joking. The therapist has you do stretches and exercises to help you recover from injury, neglect, or the passing of time that is causing you some kind of pain. They have you do things that you would never willingly do, except that they assure you you will feel better. I'm thinking of the exercise they have me do called dead bug. Dead bug, you lie flat on your back, and you raise your arm, and then you raise the opposite leg, and then you do it on the other side. And that seems really easy lying on your back until they put a 4-inch roller underneath you. And then you can make a viral video of me. Fortunately, they did not. The point of physical therapy is to find where there are weaknesses and strengths, and strengthen the weaknesses to bring your body back into proper functioning and balance, to relieve the pain that you're experiencing. Later, I will guide us through thinking about spiritual disciplines and where we might strengthen our weaknesses. I think Paul might have used physical therapy as a metaphor today rather than the metaphor of the games in Corinth. So Corinth exists on an isthmus, so that's a narrow strip of land between two seas. And in Paul's time, you never really sailed across the ocean. You always sailed around. And so a lot of shipping went across the isthmus of Corinth. So there was lots of international trade. It was a great place for Paul to establish the church of Corinth. It was also a great place for people to gather for games. And the games at Corinth were almost as popular as the games at Athens, the Olympian Games. So the games at Corinth happened every 2 years. So Paul's metaphor here was well known to the Corinthians. They knew about athletes and training and racing. These verses I would like to divide into then three things that Paul wants us to focus on. In verse 24 it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." He's talking about determination. He's not saying, only one Christian gets to go to heaven. You all better try really hard. Instead, he's saying, look it. We all know in a race, one person is going to win, but everyone who competes is determined to be that person. Be that determined. Make that part of your spiritual life. I'm no runner. But the metaphor is obvious to us. Even if you do not live in first century Corinth, we know. Paul realizes that there's more than one person who will win, and he shifts his focus in the next verse to talking about training that competitors go through. The point of this is to focus. If you know a distance runner, a lifelong distance runner, you know that they really like their personal best time. You know, if you talk to them, they'll say, today I made my personal best in the 5 mile, the 3 mile. They determined to exceed what they have achieved. And that's what Paul wants us to take away from this verse 24, is that we should go forward with God's help to always try to move forward in our spiritual lives. In verse 25, he wants us to focus on discipline. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do not get a crown that will not, they get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. If you want to compete, you go into training. It's not something you want to do, but it's something you have to do to be able to compete. It's necessary. It's sort of like doing dead bugs. Not something I wanted to do, but it did bring strength in my body and ease my pain. Training requires an athlete to forego some things that are just fine for the rest of us. I remember in high school, this is just gross, we had wrestlers. And in order to make weight, every week before the meet, they would go without water. And the ones who were really close to not making weight, they would start taking a towel around with them and spit into it. Now, there's nothing wrong with drinking water. Maybe something wrong with spitting in towels. But there's nothing wrong with drinking water, but they disciplined themselves to try to make sure they could make the weight so that they could compete. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Athletes discipline themselves for the run. They sacrifice things that the rest of us would normally allow just fine in order that they can compete to gain that crown. Discipline themselves. The next one is they concentrate. They have focus. Verses 26 and 27. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Remember, the context of this is in chapter 8 and 9, Paul is defending his ministry to the Jews and to the Gentiles because he's been challenged by people who said he wasn't an apostle. And here at the end, he says, I'm going to do my best to be the best Christian I can be, not because I can lose my relationship with Christ, but because I want it to be the best that it can be, that I won't be disqualified, I won't be removed from the field of play because of not doing something. An athlete does not train aimlessly. A boxer doesn't shadow fight all the time. At some point in time, the boxer knows that he will have to go into a ring. At some time, a runner knows his strength will be tested. My physical therapist gives me exercises to exercise my core. I think I have one of those. Not because they like a good laugh, though maybe in the case of dead bugs, that's a question or not. But because they want me to focus on the area that needs help to strengthen those. The word strike a blow actually is a compound Greek word that means to cut under the eye, to bruise the eye. The other place that's used in the New Testament is the parable of the unjust judge, who the widow keeps asking for justice, asking for justice, asking for justice, and he finally says, to keep her from giving me the black eye, I'm going to give her what she wants. Same kind of idea there. So lest he challenges his body, he challenges himself. Not that he would lose his relationship with Christ, but that he can make it better. So determination, discipline, concentration of an athlete are what make them better athletes. We all know what a good athlete looks like. You can see the definition of the muscles on their body, the strength, the endurance, the time with which they can run a marathon. It's just amazing. And Paul wants us to be better Christians. But here he doesn't tell us what that looks like. So that's where I'm going to go now, is what are the disciplines that a Christian can practice to make them a better Christian? It's not that this earns favor with God, because God loves us. It's not that these are things that I'm ordering you to do, regardless. These are things that, through the centuries of Christian history, people have found helpful to them. The target, I would say, is that the ultimate goal would be to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit in your life. So if you want to know what a good Christian is, you can turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. That's what a good Christian looks like, but how do we get our lives to that point? And that's where I'm going to go now. The best answer I have is from the book by Richard Foster called Celebration of Discipline. I didn't think of it at the time I was preparing the sermon, but that word discipline is right there again. He breaks down the disciplines into three different categories: inward, outward, and corporate. There's really not enough time to review all of these in detail, but what I'm going to do is put them up on the screen. We'll read through them. I'll give you a little bit of time to think about them. And as honestly as you can, in your heart with God, evaluate them on a scale of 1 to 5. 1, God, I really need work. And 5, hey, God, we're doing great here. So the first slide is the inward disciplines. The inward disciplines include meditation, listening to God, and seeing the world as God sees it. Prayer, asking God for you and others' needs, intercession and guidance. Fasting, denying one's self of something, usually food, for acknowledging God's provision of all things. Study, reading, observing, focusing, and thinking about God. The outward disciplines. Simplicity, living with what you need. Solitude, living in quiet self-sufficiency. Submission, living for God and for the good of all, being able to lay aside your own desires. Service, living for others. The corporate disciplines. Confession. As James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another. Worship. Sharing our experience of God with others. Guidance. Corporate listening for God's direction for us as a congregation. Celebration. Rejoicing together in our accomplishments. Now let us think about what God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, our spiritual therapist, would want us to work on to relieve the pain in our life. Or as an athlete, what would God, our coach, have us focus on for a better spiritual and corporate life together? I'll close with Philippians 3:13-14. And then ask you during our time of open worship to share your experience of God's training in your life. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus.